Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. And this is God's Word. The Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day. He looked up and he saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to meet them, bowed to the ground, and said, "My Lord, if I have found favor with you, please do not go on past your servant. Let a little water be brought, that you may wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. I will bring a bit of bread so that you may strengthen yourselves. This is why you have passed your servant's way. Later, you can continue on." "Yes," they replied, "do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent and said to Sarah, "Quick, knead three measures of fine flour and make bread." Abraham ran to the herd and got a tender, choice calf. He gave it to a young man who hurried to prepare it. Then Abraham took curds and milk, as well as the calf that he had prepared, and set them before the men. He served them as they ate under the tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he answered. The Lord said, "I will certainly come back to you in about a year's time, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old, getting on in years. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing, so she laughed to herself. "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I have delight?" But the Lord answered Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Can I really have a baby when I'm old?' Is anything impossible for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will come back to you, and in about a year, she will have a son." Sarah denied it. "I did not laugh," she said, because she was afraid. But he replied, "No, you did laugh." The men got up from there and looked out over Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to see them off. Then the Lord said, "Should I hide what I'm about to do from Abraham? Abraham is to become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will command his children and his house after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. This is how the Lord will fulfill to Abraham what he promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is immense, and their sin is extremely serious. I will go down to see if what they have done justifies the cry that has come up to me. If not, I will find out." The men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Abraham stepped forward and said, "Will you really sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away instead of sparing the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people who are in it? You could not possibly do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. You could not possibly do that. Won't the judge of the whole earth do what is just?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham answered, Since I have ventured to speak to my Lord, even though I am dust and ashes, suppose the 50 righteous lack 5. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? He replied, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. Then he spoke to him again, suppose 40 are found there. He answered, I will not do it on account of 40. Then he said, let my Lord not be angry, and I will speak further. Suppose 30 are found there. He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Then he said, since I ventured to speak to my Lord, suppose 20 are found there. He replied, I will not destroy it on account of 20. Then he said, let my Lord not be angry, and I will speak one more time. Suppose 10 are found there. He answered, I will not destroy it on account of 10. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he departed, and Abraham returned to his place. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Abraham is sitting at the entrance to his tent because it's a hot day. Apart from being a hot day, there doesn't seem to be anything notable at this point. This wasn't the first time he'd sat at the entrance to his tent. It wasn't the first time it had been a hot day. It was just a hot day and he's sitting at the entrance to his tent. But all of a sudden, 3 visitors come walking along. And it's not that, I mean, some people say, well, you know, Abraham was so lonely that, no, he had servants. He had all kinds of people around, all right? But when he saw these 3 visitors, these 3 strangers, he eagerly did what people in the Middle East and some other parts of the world are famous for. He showed hospitality. He was eager to receive them. He said, this is why you've come this way, is so that I may refresh you. Your feet need to be washed. You need to be fed. You need something to pick you up. Don't keep going. Stop. Wait. Stay. Please. Let me serve you. And they agree. And so he begins taking care of them. He says to his wife, quick, take some of the finest flour and knead some dough and make some bread. He says, quick, do this. And then he goes and he gets an animal from the flock, a choice animal. He picks it out himself. He doesn't say, hey, somebody kill a goat. Okay? Abraham went out and picked a particularly tasty young animal and had it prepared. Okay? And so now you've got a meal. The feet are getting washed. The food's being prepared. It's all good. And one of these visitors says something absolutely astounding. And that is, I'll be back in a year and your wife will have a son. I mean, would that be an odd thing for a visitor to say? Okay? I mean, how do you know? Where'd that come from? Well, this isn't just any visitor. This is God showing up in the person of this visitor and a couple of angels with him. Wow. I mean, that's like extraordinary. Yeah, it's extraordinary. This is not the kind of thing that happens from time to time. Okay? This was an absolutely extraordinary thing. And the key phrase in this chapter, there are a lot of important things, but the key phrase is what God says regarding the fact that this child is going to come. Verse 14, is anything impossible for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll come back to you, and in about a year, she'll have a son. Now, God says that because Sarah's response, when she heard she's inside the tent, she's not coming out and saying, you know, well, I want somebody to wait on me. I want to eat with the men. She's in the tent, but she's listening. She's very interested in what's going on, and she's listening. And what she hears is God saying, your wife, Sarah, is going to have a son about a year from now. And she laughs. I mean, maybe May have been. I don't know. I don't know. But God says, what are you laughing about? I didn't laugh. Okay. We heard you out here in front of the tent. Okay. Cloth doesn't prevent us from hearing your laughter. Okay. God says, is anything too hard for me? Anything impossible for me? Verse 14, is anything impossible for the Lord? Is anything impossible for the Lord? Now, every few years, some immature young person will ask me, can God make a rock so heavy that he can't lift it? Okay. And the answer is no. So you're saying that's something God can't do. Yeah, God cannot violate his own nature. God can't sin. God can't lie. God cannot make a mistake. God cannot violate his own nature. That's not some weakness on his part. It is simply a declaration that God remains the same forever and ever and ever. And anything that violates God cannot do evil. He's perfect. He's holy. God has all power, all wisdom, all knowledge, but he will always be true to himself and always be true to his word. So, is there anything God can't do? Anything impossible for him? The answer is no. Can he raise the dead? Yes. Has he done it? Yes. Will he do it? Yes. Can he restore relationships? Can he heal the brokenhearted? Can he crush the serpent's head? Yes. Yes. Please understand that whatever the problem, we look at it in terms of this little speck of time, not realizing that God's perspective is different from ours.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And he's holding out.
God takes a long perspective and he tells us, I'm going to work it all out. But Abraham and Sarah are here given again a promise. God has been telling them and telling them and telling them. Now this time, Sarah, who's heard it from her husband, God told me this, God told me that. Now she's hearing it inside the tent as God is talking to Abraham outside. And she laughs. She just thinks it's ridiculous. It's comical. You can't be serious. And God says, is anything impossible for me? Whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, whatever just seems like too much, realize God is able to handle it. Say, well, I certainly hope he resolves it within the week because I am tired of this. Well, tough. Get tough. Grow up. Realize that God is at work and he wants to make you strong. He has a plan for you that doesn't just involve the next 20 years. It involves eternity. He is preparing you now for forever. And in order to do that, you're going to have to go through some stuff. And that's what Scripture teaches us, both implicitly by example and explicitly with clear statements to that effect. Now, I love God's response in verse 15 when Sarah said she didn't laugh. Sarah denied it. I did not laugh, she said, because she was afraid. But he replied, no, you did laugh. Let me tell you something. I have tried to explain things to God before and redirect his attention and persuade him to view things my way and make excuses for things I've done. And you know what? God always knows the truth. And God always tells the truth. And so when we're not honest with God, it doesn't confuse God. God doesn't say, oh, I thought I heard you laugh. Maybe that was. God says, no, you did laugh. Always be honest when you confess to God. Because we're not informing him, we're agreeing with him. He already knows what we've done. We don't come and confess our sins to God and God says, you what? When did that happen? Where was I? God knows what you've done. God knows your struggles. God knows what you're feeling. Don't lie to him. You're only fooling yourself. Just be honest with God when you pray. Sarah tried lying. Doesn't work. God already knows. Well, the men got up from there and looked out over Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to see them off. Now, that's also interesting to me because Lot is already there, and Abraham is living in a place where he can look out and see the land he gave away. Remember? He said to Lot, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Lot looks at the green valley and he says, I'll take all that. So now Abraham has gone the other direction, but he's up there on the mountainside looking down at what he gave up. Interesting. And Abraham walks along with the three visitors as they're leaving. And as they go along, God says, am I going to hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? I've got great plans for this guy. He's going to be the one from whom a nation comes that will honor me. And so the other two go on, and Abraham stays in front of the Lord, and the Lord's talking to him. And he says, I've heard terrible things about what's happening in Sodom. And I'm going to see if it's so. Now, that's a very strange anthropomorphism because, I mean, is this suggesting that God doesn't know? No, it's suggesting that often when God deals with us, he does it in ways that we can relate to. You remember the Tower of Babel? They were going to build a tower reaching all the way up to the place of God. And God says, I better go down and see what that is. Okay? From the human perspective, it was huge. From God's perspective, it's a speck on a speck. And so God says, I'll go check it out. Well, here, it wasn't that God didn't know what was happening in Sodom. That wasn't the issue. It was that God's showing his involvement up close and personal in what goes on. There's about to be God's wrath poured out on a very wicked place. A whole civilization that had just celebrated depravity and materialism is about to be destroyed. And God says, I'm checking it out. I'm aware of what's going on. I'm going to look and see it up close. Okay? Please understand that God knows what's going on in your life. In him we live and move and have our being. He is right here, right now. God knows every detail. He knows the number of hairs on top of your head. Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from his notice. Do not think for a minute that God is just looking from a distance and every now and then has to come and see what's really happening. So, God tells Abraham that Sodom is about to be destroyed. And Abraham stepped forward and said, will you really sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Now, who did he think he was talking to? Okay. He knew he was talking to God. And yet it's amazing that after all these years of relationship and God speaking to him, he stepped forward and he's trying to make a deal with God, and he's a master businessman. He is the original author of The Art of the Deal. Okay? Because this man says to God, let me just ask, If there are 50 righteous people there, there's no way you're going to wipe the place out, is there? You couldn't do that. It'd be wrong. You can't do something that's wrong. Remember what we said about the rock? You won't do it if there are 50 people there. God says, no, I won't. He says, okay, well, let me just ask you. Over a differential of 5, would that disqualify the whole thing? God says, no. 45 people, I'll spare them. He says, okay, so you're willing to negotiate as far as 5. So suppose instead of 45, we got 40. God says, I'll spare them for 40 people. So you've been willing to give up 10. What if it was 30? You know, if I was God, I'd be just like God. If I was in the place of God, thank God I'm not, I'd say, do you understand who you're talking to? I'm the God of the universe. I'm going to give your wife the miracle baby that I've been promising for a long time. It's going to happen within the next year. I've already told you that. Now I'm telling you I'm going to go down and wipe out a whole bunch of people who really need to be wiped out. And you're wanting to deal with me over numbers? Come on. But God stood there and let him go through deal after deal until he got down to 10. And God said, hear this, if there are 10 righteous people in the city, I will spare the city. There were not 10 righteous people in the city. When we see destruction come, we may look and say, oh, the carnage, this is terrible. Oh, the only person who has ever lived on the face of the earth who didn't deserve to die is Jesus. The rest of us might feel pretty righteous compared to certain other people, but compared to God's holiness, we're not good. We're not good. Don't try and negotiate with God based on your goodness. He answered, I will not destroy it on account of 10. Now look at the next verse, last verse in the chapter. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he departed, and Abraham returned to his place. Go back to the previous chapter, chapter 17, verse 22. This is another situation where God is meeting with Abraham and talking with him. Verse 22 of chapter 17 says, when he finished talking with him, God withdrew from Abraham. In the midst of this negotiation, Abraham looks like he's doing a great job getting God to say and do what he wants. But guess who's really in control of the conversation? Okay? Later on, 2 generations later, Jacob is going to get in a wrestling match with the Lord. And the angel of the Lord's going to say, let me go. He's like, no, I will not let you go until you bless me. And so they wrestle and they wrestle and they wrestle and they wrestle. And finally the angel of the Lord says, well, it's about time for me to go. And he touches the sinew in Jacob's thigh. And his hip goes out of joint. And it was permanent. He limped the rest of his life. Now I want to ask you a question. If the angel of the Lord had the power to do that, do you really think that he could not overcome Jacob? It's like dad down on the floor with his preschooler saying, ooh, don't hurt me. You and I don't need to prevail with God. We need to say, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our prayer. That's our longing. May God be glorified. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.wearesvalleyranch.org.